Now, President Biden signed into law the Postal Service Reform Act last Wednesday, giving the U.S. Postal Service $107 billion in funding for an overhaul of the organization. The bill was passed by the Senate and the House with bipartisan support. Under the new bill, the Postal Service will have the ability to modernize parts of its agency, including replacing mail delivery trucks, some of them with electric vehicles. The bill will also require retired USPS employees to enroll in Medicare. But that's not all. Our guest reports that changes are just beginning at the Postal Service. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this Post Office Reform Act? What changes were you hoping for as a mail or package consumer, as a USPS employee yourself, maybe? Have you worried about delays in shipping, delivery, in vote delivery? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Jacob Bogage is a business reporter at the Washington Post. Jacob, welcome back to Central Time.
Good, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Well, this has been like a decade in the works. As you know, you've been following this for a while. Remind us what led to the need for this bill to get through Congress.
First and foremost, we as a country are all sending less mail. And the Postal Service gets its funding through the sale of postage products when we send letters and receive packages and things like that. When it gets less business, it has less revenue. And it had this requirement to fund in advance its retirees' healthcare costs. Mail work is physical work. It's moving pallets of mail. It is getting in and out of a postal truck or reaching out the window all the time. It's physical work. And they wanted to take care of these. Congress wanted to take care of postal workers' retirement healthcare costs in advance. But when we send less mail, the Postal Service doesn't have the money to make those payments. And that rising debt, it hasn't been able to pay it off since 2011, has kept the Postal Service from modernizing and matching consumer habits for the 21st century. And so what this bill does is it removes those past due amounts and future amounts in the order of $107 billion, ideally to let the Postal Service put that money into modernizing and serving consumers of the 21st century.
You talked to Postmaster General Louis DeJoy. Your interview with him dropped, I think, just this morning. Doesn't seem like he's dusting off his hands and saying, all right, everything's fixed now. Exactly the opposite. The hard work starts now, it sounds like.
Yeah, there was a difficult task in securing this kind of financial relief. But there is an even more difficult task now in implementing a lot of these changes that he's talked about. I mean, you get glory and headlines for shepherding legislation through Congress. Nobody's really coming in to ask, how can I help you fix up a postal plant? How can I help you renovate the lobby of, you know, this post office? These are things he's going to have to do largely on his own, out of the limelight and without a lot of help. And that's why he's clear-eyed. And I think even his biggest critics are clear-eyed that the hard work starts now. The Postal Service, whether Louis DeJoy is going to be the one to do it and whether they follow his ideas or not, somewhere down the line, it's got to be transformed because consumer habits just don't align with what our mail service does in this day and age.
What kind of changes should Postal Service customers, whether we send and receive mail, send and receive packages through the post office, what kind of things might be changing in the near term?
Well, I think one thing that postal customers have probably noticed already is that things are taking longer to arrive and they're more expensive. The Postmaster General, I mean, he was very candid with me about this, that taking a piece of mail an extra day or two to arrive is not the most of his worries. I mean, that if folks need instant communication or they can send an email or a text message, and if they've got to get something across the country real quick, they can pay extra to do it. That's not really where he wants his service to be. So slowdowns there and higher prices. And I think for Louis DeJoy, the Postmaster General, that is to set a new expectation of what the Postal Service does for, you know, means to everyday Americans. and to try to reorient it to more business solutions and to work more with businesses in terms of e-commerce and package shipping. That's going to be a major change. It's going to be a major change for how consumers notice the Postal Service and just how this gargantuan agency's operations are oriented to serve its biggest customers.
Talking to Jacob Bogage, reporter for the Washington Post, covering business and the U.S. Postal Service. Looking at the Postal Service now, a new law passed Congress, signed by the president, offers some funding, some relief in debt obligations for the Postal Service. A lot of changes, though, maybe in the works. And you can join in with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. Are you okay with paying a little bit more? Things taking a little more time and that being the new norm? What kind of changes would you like to see? What kind of questions do you have for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Jacob, packages, a big part of the story here. And Amazon, a lot of their packages go through the U.S. Postal Service. The grocery store I shop at is across the street from an Amazon distribution center. I see a lot of Prime vans driving around there. Is that a worry for the post office? Amazon and maybe others are just going to deliver their own stuff as much as they can.
Yeah, that is a major worry for the Postal Service. Amazon is the Postal Service's single largest customer. For a lot of the places where Amazon delivers, it just does not make sense for the company to make its own deliveries. It can do it cheaper by handing it off to the Postal Service to do it. They're too far away. It's not as dense of a community. But Amazon has used the pandemic and the Postal Service's struggles to expand its network. By some estimates, it delivers 72% of its own parcels. Only 2 years ago, it was 50%. So that number is really rising. And as Amazon claws back more of its business, the Postal Service has to look elsewhere to replace it.
I want to look at a big kind of a side issue that's important here in Wisconsin, and that's those Postal Service trucks. It's been a controversy. How many of them are going to be gas versus electric? How many of them are going to be made here in Wisconsin in union shops or outsourced to the South in non-union shops? Can you catch us up on the saga of these vehicles, Jacob?
Yes. As your listeners in Oshkosh and around the great state of Wisconsin have been following this closely, the Postal Service is preparing to buy up to 160,000 new mail trucks. These are sorely needed. The ones that the Postal Service drives right now are 30 years old. They have been driven into the ground. They burst into flames because of the amount of overuse. So they need these new trucks. Oshkosh Defense in wonderful Oshkosh, Wisconsin, signed an agreement to do that for around $6 billion over the next 10 years. But there was some consternation over how many of those trucks were going to be electric zero emission vehicles and how many of those trucks would be, for lack of a better term, gas guzzlers. When you turn the air conditioning on in these things, they get 8.6 miles per gallon. The Postal Service placed its first order for 50,000 of those trucks. 10,000 of them will be electric, but they're going to get made in Spartanburg, South Carolina, in a non-union shop. And a postal official in front of the House committee just last week admitted to legislators that the Postal Service knew Oshkosh was going to move those jobs from the union shops in Oshkosh to non-union shops in South Carolina, even before it awarded the contract. So there's a lot more to be said there, and we're certainly not seeing the end of this controversy.
Yeah, are politicians from states like, say, Wisconsin expected to raise a stink about that?
Some are and some aren't, and I would expect it to play heavily in the Senate race coming up in the midterm elections, where Senator Ron Johnson from Oshkosh, by the way, is up for re-election. He's been pressed on this about jobs leaving this community and has said Oshkosh already has enough jobs. We don't need them. And he's really gotten hammered for that by folks running in the Democratic primary. I would really highly expect that to become an issue in the general election. And Democrats are defending this really narrow, I mean, unbelievably razor thin narrow majority in the Senate and in the House. And they look at Wisconsin as a place to potentially pick up a seat, especially if they can win over union and blue collar workers who have drifted a bit to supporting Donald Trump and Republicans in recent years. And Oshkosh is a community where they're going to need to pick up votes.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Mary is with us in Milwaukee. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'm just questioning why he's choosing to delay the first class mail. That's actually our bread and butter. And, you know, it shouldn't be delayed. It's almost like he's forcing people to pay their bills online, and we think that's wrong. And, you know, some of the packages that we're delivering for Amazon, you know, they're bed frames. They should be delivering them. We should be delivering packages that fit in the mailbox, not having to wreck our bodies. Let them wreck their bodies. You know, that's what Amazon's all about. Let them handle that.
And Mary,
so we're a little confused.
You work at the post office yourself, it sounds like?
That is correct. Mary from Milwaukee.
Mary, thanks a lot for the call. Jacob, yeah, if Mary says if first class letters, they get more expensive, they take longer, is that going to push more people to, as she says, pay bills online?
Absolutely, it does. Look, I pay some bills online, and I get certain financial statements or insurance statements. I get those in the mail too. And I'm sure some of your listeners will notice this. Whenever you log into online banking or something, or maybe your doctor's office or insurance, do you get a little pop-up on your screen that says go paperless? Or does it say we're going to start charging you $5 a year service charge to mail you your statements? This is the kind of thing that the Postal Service has to contend with, that every time they raise prices or slow down service, there is going to be businesses who say, this is not worth my money anymore to keep my mail in the system. I'm pulling it out. And Mary... In Milwaukee raises a great point about Amazon packages. And I cannot tell you the amount of postal workers who talk to me and say, I am slammed with Amazon packages. I go home at the end of the day and I collapse into my bed because I'm exhausted from hauling these things all over town. These are, you know, packages represent a complete transformation of what the Postal Service is designed to do. It is designed to move paper. It is not designed to move cardboard, which is bulky and heavier. They don't go through machines as easily. That is where Louis DeJoy is really going to have some issues reorienting this gargantuan federal agency to a completely new purpose.
Thanks for that call, Mary. Jacob Bogage is with us, business reporter for The Washington Post. He's talking about the Postal Service Reform Act passed by Congress, signed by President Biden. Big changes on the way at the USPS. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you worried about your mail service, your package delivery service as a consumer, as a business person yourself, maybe? What do you think about this truck thing? Should there be more electric vehicles in the mix? Should they be made here in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk with Jacob Bogage on the Postal Service Reform Act, what it means for the future of your mail. Call 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions. We'll go back to your calls now. Mark is with us in Chippewa Falls. Mark, hi.
Hi. I just want to bring up that we've got global warming to worry about, and we've got Putin who needs to sell his oil. If we're going to demonstrate to the world we are reducing our emissions and that we're serious about these two things, we ought to be addressing that by replacing this fleet of vehicles for the post office with vehicles that are powered by electricity, not gasoline.
Gotcha, Mark. Thanks for the call. Jacob, you talked to Louis DeJoy about this. You said, yeah, you've got 10,000 electric vehicles. He says, well, 10,019 on the way. Jacob, what is the reasoning for not having more of these vehicles be electric, as Mark is asking about?
The Postal Service, and I want to make clear that this is the Postal Service, says that it, A, doesn't have the money to buy more electric vehicles, and B, doesn't have the knowledge and the electric vehicles aren't up to snuff yet. Now, let me put both of those points in the context. On the money, the Postal Service has between $20 and $24 billion sitting in the bank right now in cash. Electric vehicles at their most expensive will cost $11 billion. So they do have the money. Are electric vehicles up to snuff? They've done analysis that says no, that they're not right for the use case of the Postal Service going mailbox to mailbox, stopping and starting, getting charged and plugged in at post offices when they are done with their routes. Electric vehicle experts and folks who are completely independent of the Postal Service say this is exactly the perfect use case for electric vehicles. When you drive your car on the highway right now, if it's a gas-powered car, it gets better miles per gallon on the highway than it does in the city because it's not stopping and starting. The opposite is true for an electric vehicle. It actually gets better mileage stopping and starting than it does in long stretches on the highway. So there's actually a more efficient use for the Postal Service to use electric vehicles than it says. There is a lot of congressional oversight going on around this. There is $6 billion being debated in Congress right now to try to get that funding to the Postal Service to help them buy electric cars. There's also likely going to be lawsuits from environmental groups who say that the trucks that the Postal Service is slated to buy right now will do permanent harm to the planet and to public health. And so there's, again, a lot up in the air right now, and I think your caller raises a great point.
Thanks for the call, Mark, at 800-642-1234. Mary joins us next in Edgerton. Mary, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My suggestion slash comment is I stopped writing anything over the email because it wasn't anybody else's business ever what I was saying to my family and friends. And so we all write letters again. And my suggestion is, can the post office do some kind of public service announcements that would encourage people to write letters? And maybe then the postage wouldn't have to go so high.
Mary,
but that's my thought.
Mary, thanks for the call. Jacob, I think letter writing, I'm guessing, has gone down in part because of the email, as Mary mentioned, also because of social media, of course. Is there a hope for a turnaround encouraging us to write letters again?
Yes and yes. Letter writing definitely has gone down because of emails, because we can pick up the phone and call people. I cannot tell you the amount of people who have told me I've gotten back into letter writing, or I send thank you notes by hand, or I'm getting married and I could tell people to RSVP online or through email, but instead I'm going to have them mail RSVPs back to me. That's not necessarily enough to stem the tide of declines in mail use. But look, it's something that I've done in my own life, and I've gotten enjoyment out of it. So why not?
Thanks for the suggestion, Mary. We are talking to Jacob Bogage from The Washington Post, looking at the U.S. Postal Service. Big changes passed in Congress, more to come. You can join in still at 800-642-1234. We heard from Susan in Waukesha, who can stay on the line, wonders about potential conflicts of interest for Louis DeJoy. This has been a concern since he was appointed to the Postmaster General spot. What is the latest on that kind of concern, Jacob?
So, wow. that's a big question. And I think the best way to answer that is, in broad strokes, the conflict of interest regulations are designed not only to help folks in office in government avoid legitimate conflicts of interest, but also the appearance of conflicts of interest. And so if you're butting up against what is an appearance of a conflict of interest, that in itself is problematic. When we talk about Louis DeJoy specifically, we're talking about his former employer, a company called XPO Logistics. He continues to own buildings that he leases to XPO Logistics. XPO Logistics is a major contractor of the Postal Service. There's also been some reporting recently that Louis DeJoy owns stock in Abbott Laboratories, which is one of these companies that makes COVID-19 tests. And of course, some of those tests are being shipped out by the Biden administration through the Postal Service. That one, talking to ethics experts, they're a little bit less concerned about, because DeJoy has owned stock in Abbott long before the pandemic started. He doesn't really have any say about what kind of tests get sent out. And he can't offer preferential treatment to Abbott tests versus non-Abbott tests. But again, the entire purpose of conflict of interest regulations is to avoid even the appearance of a conflict. And, you know, we live in a representative democracy. These are the kinds of things that if listeners are concerned about, you know, this is their government and they have every right to engage their representatives about it.
And just briefly, there's concern also, and I think Susan had also brought this up, about retirement payments for current and former Postal Service employees. Is this something that's tackled in this new legislation?
It is. And so if you're a current retiree, nothing's going to change for you. But if you are a current employee, you're going to get integrated into Medicare. Your premiums should stay about the same. And so should the benefits that you get, because the postal retirement system as it was already based on Medicare and different civil service retirement programs.
And just very briefly, Jacob, what are you watching for next?
Oh, the trucks. Are they staying in Wisconsin? Are they going to South Carolina? Are they going to be electric? Are they not going to be electric? I say let's just play a college football game and settle it that way. The Badgers and the Gamecocks, and see what happens.
All right. I'm there. Jacob, thanks again for joining us today.
It's always a pleasure.
That's Jacob Bogage, business reporter for The Washington Post. He follows the U.S. Postal Service very closely. He joins for a look at new funding approved by Congress and potentially lots of big changes in the works for mail delivery, package delivery, and more. Still time to share your thoughts. By the way, tweet us at Central Time WPR.